the scriptures teach that the Holy Spirit doesn't control anybody's views. That the Holy Spirit dwells personally in faithful Christians and not just through the Word. And I mean by that not just representative through the Word. In case my proposition doesn't make it clear, I believe the Holy Spirit does dwell in us representatively through the Word. When and to the extent that we purposely obey His teaching found in His Word. In Ephesians 5:18b is an example of that. But I also believe that the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit dwells in faithful Christians personally. And I believe that one word maybe deserves some comments and definitions. Raise it up, somebody. Here's what helps you explain what I mean by personally. The Holy Spirit dwells in the faithful Christians personally. For example, raise it on up today. President Clinton couldn't negotiate with Iraq through a representative, which I'm sure that he had. Or Mr. Clinton himself could go to Iraq in person to negotiate. And we know what that means, okay? That's what I mean by in person. Mary and I agree that the Holy Spirit dwells in the faithful Christian representatively through the Word. But I believe that also in addition to that, when you're baptized, the Holy Spirit goes into the Christian personally, not representatively. Next chart, Mike. I want to turn to perhaps one of the most huge passages in this whole chapter for years and years, and that's Acts 2:38, where Peter says, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, I want you to notice that there are two commands to be obeyed, repent and be baptized. There are two promises to be received, the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, everybody who meets both conditions will receive two blessings. Everybody, not just a select few. Just as many people as received the remission of sins because they believed, repented, and were baptized, just that many will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost when they repent and are baptized. Raise it up some, Mike. Now, the gift of the Holy Ghost, they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That has two possible meanings. It could mean a gift that the Holy Spirit gives. For example, we say a gift of God. That's a gift that God gives. On the other hand, it could mean the Holy Ghost as a gift. For example, if I would say a gift of money, the money is the gift. It could go either way. Another example, I received the gift of Cheryl on my wedding day. Now, that could mean two different things. The ring that she gave me, which I lost while I was asking, that was a gift from Cheryl, or it could mean that Cheryl herself was the gift, in the sense that her dad gave her a wedding, which she mentioned a number of times in the Bible. Now, what I'm going to do in this debate, could go either way. Now I'm going to go through a number of passages that teach the same thing, that make it perfectly clear that the gift is the Holy Spirit Himself. Not something from the Holy Spirit, not a gift from the Holy Spirit, not a power from the Holy Spirit. These passages are going to make it clear that the gift is the Holy Spirit. Next chart, Mike. First of all, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 13, which reads, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Now, I want you to know that in this verse, the Holy Ghost Himself is what is given. In this case, it doesn't say the gift of the Holy Ghost. It says that the Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Now, the Holy Spirit is the gift. If you put two and two together, just with that 2:38, then you see with the gift of the Holy Ghost in that 2:38, that's talking about the Holy Ghost Himself. Like gift of money, money is the gift. Okay? So that confirms that in that 2:38, the gift of the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost Himself in person. That's my proposition. Now, who is promised the Holy Ghost according to Luke 11:13? Those that ask you. That is, all who become Christians, not just a select few. This verse applies to everybody, just like, look at verses 9 and 10 and look at the context. Everybody turn to Luke 11. In Luke 11, we're going to notice in verse 13, these are the things that the Father gives. Now, you look at verse 9, and I think you ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I won't read the whole thing, but it says, if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. We all know, everybody here knows that applies to everybody. When you talk about the person in the far remote field of time that hasn't heard the gospel, we say, if he seeks, he will find. This applies to everybody, not just the apostles. And so it talks about asking, you will receive. And then Luke 11 says, if you ask for the Holy Ghost, the Father will give it to you. So it's not talking about anything to the select few. The Bible says for sure that it's talking about everybody. That's the concept. Now, how do you ask for the Holy Ghost? Well, it's not by prayer, because you're not a Christian and you ask for it. You ask for the Holy Ghost, reference this passage, the same way you ask for salvation. Remember that 22:16, arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord? The Lord has said that if you'll be baptized, then forgive your sins. So how do you ask Him to forgive your sins? Being baptized. That's how you call upon the Lord to forgive you of your sins, to wash your sins away by being baptized. That's what Acts 22:16 says. Now Acts 2:38, how would you ask God to remit your sins? You don't pray for Him, He's already told you what to do to remit your sins. Repent and be baptized. How do you ask God for the remission of sins? You, by doing it, by repenting and being baptized. And now in Acts 2:38, He said, if you repent and be baptized, He'll give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. If we found out He is the Holy Ghost. How do you ask Him for it? By repenting and being baptized. Luke 11 shows that if you ask for it, by repenting and being baptized, Acts 2:38, you will receive it. And the context clearly shows in Luke 11, if everybody, including us today, including us today. Next chart, Mark. Next, let's go. John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. Let me read that. King James Version, I'm sure you have that. He that believeth on me, as the Scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Not just the apostles, but they that believe on him. And we all know what that means in John 3:16, don't we? That whoever believeth would have everlasting life. What does this say? And they that believe on him should receive the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Notice that the personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, is a conditional gift. John 7:39, if you believe, you get the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38, if you repent and you baptize, you get the Holy Ghost. And we'll see in a minute. Acts 5:32, if you obey, you get the Holy Ghost. But notice again, in this passage, the Holy Ghost himself is what is given. Not a power from the Holy Ghost, not a gift from the Holy Ghost, but the thing that you receive is the Holy Ghost himself. This confirms that in Acts 2:38, the gift of the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost himself, in purpose. It proves it. Now, some people may not want to accept it, but that's what the Bible says. We need to learn to accept what the Bible says, even if it goes contrary to our complicated system of doctrine. Whatever the Bible says is true. Now, who gets the Holy Ghost before the John 7:39? Twice. Not once, but twice it says that those that believe on him, that is, all who become Christians, but not just the select few. Now let's go to Acts 5:32, the next passage I said we would get to. Let's read Acts 5:32. Well, I don't have it on the chart, so I'm going to turn to my Bible to read it. The Bible says there in Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. You notice that it wasn't a gift or a power from the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost himself is the thing that's given. Again, that confirms that in Acts 2:38, the gift of the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost himself in person. Okay? Now notice that this verse has three clauses. We are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Now some erroneously insert witnesses or the miraculous into the third clause. But that's inserting it in there. It's not there. The third clause, this talks about the Holy Ghost in the second clause. All the third clause says is that God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. It doesn't say anything miraculous in the third clause, anything about witnesses in the third clause. He brings up the Holy Ghost when he's talking about witnesses. And then he says, the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey him. And so again, the personal indwelling of the Holy Ghost is conditional. John 7, if you believe, you get it. Acts 2:38, if you repent, you're baptized, you get it. Acts 5:32, you obey, you get it. Raise it up, Mike. Who gets the Holy Ghost according to Acts 5:32? Those that obey him. You remember Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9? Jesus is the author of salvation unto all that obey him. Now, is that talking about a select few like the apostles or anything like that? No, that's talking about all. Now, what's the difference between Acts 5:32, them that obey him, and Hebrews 5:9, all that obey him? Nothing. That is, all those who become Christians receive the Holy Ghost, all those that obey him. And by this time, there are several thousand that obey him. By this time, Acts 5:32, all of them receive the Holy Ghost, at least according to the Bible. And so the next passage we're going to put up there
is Romans 5:5, which reads, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." So notice, this says the love of God is shed in our hearts, abroad in our hearts, by the Holy Ghost. But then it says, which is given to us. The Holy Ghost is the thing that's given to us. It doesn't say a gift or power from the Holy Ghost is given. It says the Holy Ghost is given to us. Notice in this passage, the Holy Ghost himself is given. This confirms that in Acts 2:38, the gift of the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost himself that is in person. Now notice who is promised the Holy Ghost according to Romans 5:5. In case somebody thinks this is talking about a select few, like the miraculous, it's all those who are justified by faith, verse 1, that's the context, those that have peace with God through Christ, verse 1, those who have access into His grace, verse 2, those who rejoice in hope, those that have hope that maketh not ashamed, this is the context of Romans 5:5, those that receive the Holy Ghost, those who have the love of God in their heart, those who have been justified by His blood, those who will be saved from wrath through Him, those who will reconcile to God, verse 10, those who will be saved by His life, verse 10, that every Christian, then and now. Now, if you say you haven't got the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, as this talks about, then you must be saying, these characteristics don't describe you. This is not, is this just a select few, or is that all Christians? Now, taking the context, that's what it says. Can we accept what the Bible says? Are we willing to do that? Do we have the courage just to accept what it says? Okay? So Romans 5:5 shows that all Christians are given the Holy Ghost, not just a select few. Bye. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8. So many of these. They're over and over in the Bible. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also given unto us His Holy Spirit. Now who is the source of the gift? The gift. God. I think this is God the Father. What is the element of the gift? What was given? The Holy Spirit. Not a gift from the Holy Spirit. Not a power from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit Himself is given to us by God. That confirms again that in Acts 2:38, the gift of the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit Himself in person. Who is promised the Holy Spirit by 1 Thessalonians 4? Okay, let's look at the context. Who is the earth? Those who are not despised men, verse 8, by defrauding our brother in any manner, verse 6, does that describe you or is that just the apostles? But instead are to show brotherly love. Is that Christians today? I think so. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Who is He called unto holiness and not uncleanness? Who is the us? That's all Christians then and now. And the Bible says that He has given the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, unto that same us. Okay? I'm not just making this up. I'm reading it right from the Bible. It means what it says. In other words, all Christians. This passage teaches that all Christians are given the Holy Spirit, not just a select few. Next, let's turn to, I read from 1 John, no, Titus 3:5-6. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. Now ask yourself this question. Who have you always thought this applied to? The apostles are just a select few? Or have you always thought this applied to all Christians? Aren't we all saved by mercy and not by works of righteousness in the sense that this passage is talking about? Well, of course. We've always thought and taught, and it was the truth, that this applies to all Christians. This is exactly how we're saved. The blood of Christ is what earns our salvation, not our work. That doesn't mean, as we point out from the Baptist, that we don't have to meet conditions and obey promise. But we're saved by His mercy, not by the earning basis of our own work. Now notice, this word shed, or poured, the Holy Ghost is what is poured out from God. Notice it says, the Holy Ghost, which He, talking about God the Father, I see, shed or poured on us, that's the same us who were saved this way, that is by mercy, not by our work. The Holy Ghost is the element of the pouring, not the one doing the pouring. God the Father is the one doing the pouring. The Holy Ghost is the one that is poured. Okay? Notice that's a metaphor, the word poured, but the Holy Ghost is literal. The metaphor is describing how the Holy Ghost, as Peter said, was abundantly bestowed upon. But the Holy Ghost is literal. Now, let's just read a couple of two, three other translations here. Renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ. NIV, renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ. New King James Version, renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. Now, who has promised the Holy Spirit according to Titus 3:6? Those who are saved according to His mercy? Is that you? I hope so. Those who are justified by His grace? Is that you? I hope so. Those who are made heirs of eternal life? Verse 7? Those are the people that receive the Holy Ghost, not some power of the Holy Ghost, not something from the Holy Ghost. The text says they receive the Holy Ghost. That's all Christians, not just the select few.
Amen.
1 John chapter 3, verse 24. He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. Hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. What this is saying is that we know that He abides in us by the Spirit. And then it goes on to say that the Spirit is what is given. Now notice again, the Spirit is the thing that is given, not the giver. Okay? Not the source, it's the element. It's the thing that is given to us. That again confirms that in Acts 2:38, the gift of the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit Himself. Who is promised the Holy Ghost according to 1 John 3:24? Look at context again. It's not just the select few. According to verse 22, those whose prayers are answered. According to verse 24, those who dwell in God and He in them. Now, is that just the select few, the apostles, or a few others? That's all Christians, even today. All Christians. This passage teaches that all Christians are given the Holy Ghost, not just the select few. Fine. A similar passage, 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. Notice in this passage, the Holy Spirit Himself is what is given. He is a gift. It is not a gift of power from the Holy Ghost. This confirms that in Acts 2:38, the gift of the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost Himself in person. Now again, look at the context to see if it's coming out of select few or all Christians. Who is promised the Holy Spirit according to 1 John 4:13? Those who dwell in God and He in them. Verse 13. Is that all Christians? Sure is. Those that can have boldness in the day of judgment. Does that describe you? I sure hope so. All Christians. This passage teaches that all Christians are given the Holy Ghost, not just the select few. Now, the next one forward again. And so that's Acts 2:38. We wondered at the beginning, gift of the Holy Ghost, is that something from the Holy Ghost or the Holy Ghost Himself? Well, we've been through these passages, and we've proven beyond a shadow of a doubt it's the Holy Ghost Himself. Okay, next chart, Mike.
What does that mean?
Question. I'll use those when I feel like I need them. Now, Acts 2:38 cannot be the indwelling through the Word. I will bring this up. I may not bring it up in this debate. Here's why. Barry's going to agree with me on this chart, that Acts 2:38 cannot be talking about indwelling through the Word. But there may be some in the audience that think it is talking about indwelling through the Word. So I will address that right now, and then perhaps we'll not bring it up again in the discussion, but Barry won't have any agreement on that. First of all, I want to notice that Mary said in red, dot 132, page 135 of the red book, no promise is the thing that she obeys. And we've made this argument through the years at Pentecost. We said, Holy Spirit baptism is a promise, and therefore it cannot be obeyed. Mary said that in the blue book. There she quotes the page number. I agree with that. It's a promise. Now, he said on blue page 300, if indwelling is a promise to be received, then it cannot be commanded. Exactly, I agree with that 100%. Indwelling is a promise in Acts 2:38. You repent to be baptized, that's what you obey. The promise is God willing to stand against the Holy Ghost. This is not talking then about an indwelling through the Word, because it's not obeying, it is receiving a promise. Now if you look at Ephesians 5:18b, it says, be ye filled with the Spirit. That's an indwelling through the Word, because it's a command for us to obey. It's not a promise to be received when we obey. How do you be filled with the Spirit if it gets Ephesians 5:18? By obeying the teaching of the Word that came through the Spirit. Now, I agree, Mary and I agree on that, okay? But now, the gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts 2:38 is a promise, not a commandment to be obeyed. They had already obeyed when they were gifted and they were baptized. That's obeying the Word. Then they received the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a promise to be received, not a commandment to be obeyed. But the indwelling through the Word is a commandment to be obeyed. Read 1:15. So I asked Mary, does this line of argumentation, which I agree with, prove that the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38 cannot be referring to the indwelling of the Spirit through the Word? He said, yes, we agree on that. And likewise, it would apply to all these passages, because in all these passages that I've been over so far, the Holy Ghost is something that is promised. It's not something that is to be obeyed. You can't obey a promise, as he said. These verses all come with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, they cannot. Not any of them be talking about the indwelling through the Word. If you want to talk about this more afterwards, I'll be glad to do that. This is the position you hold. Because the indwelling through the Word is a commandment to be obeyed. Therefore, these verses are all talking about the personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Mike. 5 minutes. Thanks, sir. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6:18-19. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? What is Paul's very simple to understand argument here? It's very simple. You don't have to make this complicated. Just believe what it says. The Christian's body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's what it says. Therefore, don't defile the Holy Spirit's temple by sinning with or against the body. That implies that when we sin, yes, marrying the Holy Spirit, God's seal of approval has to leave us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in you. That's what verse 19 says. Not in the church. Not in any other thing. In you. That's in your physical body, obviously. The evidence for my proposition is overwhelming. Bye. Then I believe the next passage is probably Ephesians 1:13-14. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the promise of possession. Now, what the text says, King James Version. This passage says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Remember that, it says two things. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is an earnest. It says that. I didn't make that up. That's what the Bible says. And you can come up with all kinds of complicated schemes to try to get around what it says. But after you talk and talk and talk and talk, after you get through it, still say the Holy Spirit is a seal and an earth. Still going to say that. No matter how long Mary talks, still going to say that when it gets to the day. It says the Holy Spirit being an earth. The Bible, or our English define that as installment, deposit, down payment, pledge. So the Holy Spirit is a seal and it's an earth until we receive heaven. New King James Version, raise it up, Mike. 2 Corinthians 1:22. There's finishing the passage here. Who also has filled us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Or it says the word earnest in King James Version. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Or the King James Version says earnest. I didn't write those translations. That's what they say. So the Holy Spirit, that is the earnest, what God fills us with, that's what the text says. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. It is given to us. Given us the Spirit. Given us the Spirit. Not something you obey. Not indwelling through the Word. It's something that is given. It's not something from the Holy Spirit is given. Not a power from the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit is given. That's what the text says. You can either accept it or reject it. That's up to us. Who is promised the Holy Spirit according to these three passages? All Christians. These three passages prove that all Christians are given the Holy Spirit, not just to select few. 500 times. 3 minutes. Now, I would like to bring up at least one other passage. And this doesn't really deal with the passage directly. This is Romans 8:26-27. Ron wanted to discuss it of all the passages, and I believe this is the passage. This teaches that the Holy Spirit does something for us, makes intercession for us. Now, he can do that whether he personally indwells in us or he does it in heaven. So it's not directly on the subject of personal indwelling. But what it does do is it shows, here's at least one thing that the Holy Spirit does that the Word does not do. Okay, let's read the passage. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Raise it up, Mike. This passage says, that's what the passage says, that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's what it says. Now, does anybody here believe that the Word does that? Does anybody here believe that the Bible makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered? It doesn't. This is at least one thing. I may not know anything else. I'm not sure of anything else. There is at least one thing that the Holy Spirit does that the Word does not do. It takes intercession for us, intercession for us. That's what it does. So that was my last start on the list, correct? So let me summarize what I was saying. Go back to Acts 2:38. That's number 4. In Acts 2:38, we show if you attend, if you're baptized, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and the remission of sins. That means that everybody who repents and is baptized will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, just like everybody who repents and is baptized into the remission of sin. If you say that the gift of the Holy Ghost is only meant to some, and nobody gets it today, then you are in effect saying, logically, that the remission of sin does not follow for everybody who repents and is baptized, and not anybody who does. He doesn't agree with that, but logically, that's so. Everybody who repents and is baptized is promised the remission of sin, and is promised the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you either believe that, or you don't. You believe it or you don't. If we confirm that it's not talking about a gift from the Holy Spirit, but it was talking about the Holy Spirit himself, because Luke 11 says, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. John 7, the Spirit will say that believe on him should receive. Acts 5:32, the Holy Ghost whom God has given to them that obey him. Romans 5:5, the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. 1 Thessalonians 4:8, that's also given at that time unto us is the Holy Spirit and the Spirit which he has given. Thank you very much for your time and attention.